your Bibles open. Philemon chapter 1, verse 2. All right, we need time to preach. Sit down. Thank you. Thank you. All right, have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This afternoon, when Brother Collins gave me the speaker here to use, he said it's okay just to keep it on, but I didn't trust him, so I put it on mute while we were singing. I like to sing. I like the verse that says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, but there is a reason why I didn't sing a duet with my wife today. It's good to be here, and it's been a blessing to stay with my brother Robert and Esther, and I just want to say thank you, Robert, for hosting us and for taking such good care of us the last week and a half. And it's also been a blessing to see many teachers and staff, faculty that is still here that were my teachers when I was a student at the college, and I just want to say thank you for making a difference in my life. Thank you for your investment and sacrifice serving the Lord all these years. You're a great example and encouragement to us, and thank you so much. When I was in college, I was a bus captain, 80-11, Division 14. Anyone hear from there? All right. And learned a lot in the bus ministry. And on Friday, Dr. Douglas was giving a testimony. He was thanking God that one of the best things he got from Hiles Anderson College was his wife. And I agree that one of the best things I got from Hiles Anderson College was my wife. When I came to college, I'm from a small town in Minnesota, Mazeppa, about 600 population, and dating was a little bit difficult for me. It's awkward, and I remember I started dating Lindsay, and one day I decided to take her out on the lake, and so we're in the canoe, and Lindsay was a little bit mischievous, and as we were paddling the canoe, she took the paddle and she splashed some water in my face. And I thought, okay. And so I had a plan that a little while later I would tell her, say, look over the side in the water. And so when she turned to look over the side of the canoe, I was going to take my oar and bring it up and splash her in the face. And so I said, Lindsay, look over the side of the canoe. And she leaned over to look on the side. And I leaned over to bring the paddle up. And the canoe went like this. And we ended up in the water. And I ruined her phone and her camera and her clothes. But praise God, she still married me. And I thank God for that. If you have your Bible, go to Philemon. And we're going to actually look at three different passages this afternoon. Philemon chapter 1, verse 2. And let's stand for the reading of God's word. Philemon verse number 2, and I'd like you to read it with me if you're there. Ready? Begin. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. And then Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. And we'll also read this verse together. Ready, begin. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. And then we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And we'll also read these together. Ready, begin. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, for for this time set aside for the preaching of your word. Thank you for giving us your word to preach. I thank you for these students, for this college, and the great impact it is making around the world to get the gospel out. I ask now that you'd fill me with your spirit to deliver this message in a way that will help the listeners. I pray for every listener that you'll fill them with your spirit, that they will have open ears and an open heart to receive the truth you have for them today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. June 6th, 1944 is a day that will forever live in the minds and hearts of men and women of the free world. It was this day, often referred to as D-Day, that the Allied forces carried out a major offensive attack against the Germans on the beaches of Normandy, France. The Normandy landings were the largest seaborne invasion in history, with nearly 5,000 landing and assault craft involved, and 289 escort vessels transporting nearly 160,000 troops across the English Channel. The mission was to capture and hold a 50-mile stretch of beach from which they could establish a base and begin to take back France and Eastern Europe from Hitler and the Germans. Months of planning was carried out before the day was chosen for the invasion. At about midnight, 2,200 Allied bombers began bombing targets on the coast and further inland. At about 5 a.m., naval vessels began firing on the beaches to pave a way for the soldiers to land. Five beaches were targeted and objectives were laid out for the troops. The plan was for troops to begin landing at 6:30 a.m. The escorts filled with soldiers moved close to the beaches, and the men waded into the water and headed for the beaches. It was a very costly battle, as soldiers were gunned down by German machine gunners. Many were blown up or lost limbs because of the German mines and explosives planted on the beaches. At the end of the first day, due to miscommunications, weather factors, and other reasons, none of the mission's objectives were reached, and over 10,000 Allied troops lay dead. However, the soldiers were successful in establishing a presence on the beaches of Normandy for further invasion. And eventually, all the objectives were reached. The tide of the war was turned, and Germany, along with the other Axis powers, were defeated. The D-Day invasion was successful in the end because a lot of men were focused on accomplishing the mission. And because they believed in the mission, they were willing to do whatever was necessary to help accomplish their mission. In the verses that we read earlier, Paul refers to his co-workers as fellow soldiers. And he tells Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers are people who engage in battle. Soldiers are people who fight to accomplish the mission that they have received from their commander. Paul viewed himself as a soldier. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I have fought a good fight." He said in Ephesians chapter 6, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Yes, Paul realized that he was a soldier. He was engaged in battle, and he had a mission to accomplish. We know that as Paul was on his mission, he endured great difficulties, great sufferings. He said, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. The Apostle Paul went through great suffering and great trials as he worked to accomplish his mission. How could Paul endure all of these things and yet continue to press on? He stayed focused on his mission. He said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul was mission-minded. He was focused on accomplishing the mission that his commander, Jesus Christ, had given to him. Paul was not focused on how much money he had in the bank. Paul was not concerned with his own level of comfort or pleasure. He was not concerned with what position or title that he had. He was simply a soldier on a mission, and his purpose in life was to accomplish that mission. Just like Paul and Timothy and Archippus and Epaphroditus, you and I are also soldiers on a mission. God has given us a great commission to accomplish. He has commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He has commissioned us to go and teach and baptize and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Yes, we too are soldiers on a mission. And if we are going to be successful in our mission, we must be mission-minded. We must be focused on accomplishing our mission. Today I want to give you three obstacles that often prevent the soldiers of Christ from accomplishing their mission and try to help you to overcome them. The first obstacle is difficulties. Difficulties. Difficulties come in many shapes and forms. Could be a sickness, lack of money, lack of work, rejection by a friend or a family member, death of a loved one, criticism or slander from those that were once close to us. But the truth is that as we work to accomplish our mission, difficulties will come. I remember coming to college, and as a freshman, I joined my brother's bus route, and I wasn't feeling well that Saturday, and we were in his car driving to check on some of the bus riders. And I remember telling my brother, pull over, and he pulled over in the street. I opened up the passenger door and just vomited on the street there. And there were some difficulties that I faced coming to college. I remember going soul winning in the winter. Amen. Freezing winter. God bless you for your ministry. That's one reason to come to Ghana. Amen. You don't have to go soul winning in the cold weather. I remember that the first month and a half I was here in Bible college, I was homesick. I wasn't busy. I didn't have a job yet. And I wished to be back where I was from. I remember that difficulty and that challenge that I faced. I remember having to put up with crazy roommates. I was a freshman. I stayed in Rice 109. I don't know what the bunk beds are like now, but when I was there, I was on the bottom bunk. You didn't have enough room to sit up, but I was on the bottom, and above me was Jeremiah, and Jeremiah had a hard time waking up to his alarm clock. Amen. And so finally, he bought a new kind of alarm clock called a screaming meanie. Now, if you've heard of those. Well, he set his alarm, and let me tell you, that next morning when that alarm went off, it scared me. I sat up as fast as I could in my bed and got a big welt on my forehead. But sometimes you have to put up with crazy roommates. That can be difficult. I remember as a freshman working hard, trying to adjust, and working during the week, all day Saturday, visiting on the bus route, Sunday morning, going to the bus route, early, waking up the kids, riding the bus, being in church, going, getting the kids in the afternoon, bringing them to night church. And then after night church, some bus captain got up and he says, "You're pathetic. You're not doing enough for God." And I'm sitting there thinking, man, what am I supposed to do more? And it was a challenge. I remember later as a junior getting my CDL driver's license and waking up early, getting a bus on Sunday morning and then driving and dropping off all the riders and getting back to the college at 1 o'clock. And if you would have seen me walk to my dorm room, you would have thought I was a drunk, hitting the walls. Truth is that there are times when we have to endure difficulties as we work to accomplish our mission. And that is why Paul said to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why did Paul tell this to Timothy? Because he knew that hardness and difficulties were going to come his way. We went to Ghana with the Ghana team in 2006. And my wife and I have been serving there for 13 years. But in 2013, in April, one day my wife started feeling sick. And she was getting a high fever. We thought the symptoms resembled malaria. We thought that's what she had. So went to the pharmacy, and I bought the malaria medicine and started treating her for the malaria. She took the first pill, and she laid down, and it seemed to help her. But about 30 minutes later, she vomited and threw it up. And then her fever began to spike, and it was going 101, 102, 103, almost to 104, and I was getting very concerned. At that time, there was no hospital that had an emergency room, and I knew that if I took her to the hospital at night, we would simply wait there until the doctor got there in the morning. And so I did everything I could to get the temperature to level off and come down, and praise God it did. Took her to the hospital the next morning, and when we got there, they said, well, we want to draw some blood so we can test it. So they drew her blood. She was very, very weak. And we went to wait outside of the doctor's office there, and as we were walking to go to his door, she just collapsed. And so the nurses came over, and they rushed her to a room, and the doctor was very concerned. But I didn't know what was going on. They hooked her up to an IV, and a short while later, the doctor came in and he said, "Your wife has sepsis." And I had no idea what sepsis was, but sepsis is an infection of the blood. It's very serious. And Lindsay was going into septic shock there at the hospital, a very serious thing. And I was reading, I looked it up on the internet, and it said 50% of people who go into septic shock don't make it. I thought, good night. And for about 2 days, as they started her on IV antibiotics, she was not making any improvements. One of the doctors wanted to increase the dosage and change it, but the main doctor said, no, we're going to keep this regimen. And praise God, at the third day, she started making a turn for the better. And for 6 days, she was in the hospital on the IV antibiotics. And I remember that was a very difficult time for my wife and I. And even today, there are some things that she struggles with because of what happened when she got sepsis. The truth is, as we work to accomplish our mission for Jesus Christ, we will face difficulties. Jesus told his disciples that if any man would follow him, he must take up his cross. And the cross is a symbol of suffering and sacrifice. As we work to accomplish our mission, we must be aware that difficulties will come. It's not a matter of if they will come, it's just a matter of when. And a soldier must be mission-minded in order to endure the difficulties that come his way. Peter said it this way. He said, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." If our Lord and our Master Jesus Christ came and he suffered greatly in his body of flesh, we as Christians, we as his followers, must arm ourselves with the same mind that we must endure hardness. Jesus never promised that the Christian life would be a life of ease and a life of comfort for his children. I love what the songwriter said. "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word." We must be willing to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Jesus told a parable about a sower who went out to sow some seed. And the seed, some seed fell by the wayside, and some on the stony ground, some on the thorny ground, and some on the good soil. And he said that the seed that fell on the stony ground, it grew up, began to grow. But when the sun came out and beat on it, it withered because it had no root. And later he told his disciples, he said, the stony ground Christian, it represents people who hear the word of God and they receive it with joy. They're happy to receive it. However, when affliction or persecution arose because of the word, they got offended. They quit. And people often quit on their mission because of difficulties. Soldiers abandon their posts and desert their comrades because of difficulty and opposition. Let me encourage you today, be like the Apostle Paul. Don't let the difficulties that you face as you work to accomplish your mission keep you from doing what God wants you to do. The first obstacle we see is difficulties. The second obstacle is distractions. Paul said to Timothy, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." To be entangled means to be entwined or joined to. So we see that Paul tells Timothy, he says, don't get entangled. But he said, don't get entangled with what? Don't get entangled with what? The affairs of this life. A soldier can be unsuccessful in accomplishing his mission due to getting sidetracked or distracted. I believe this is one of the main tools that the devil, our arch enemy, will use against us. Maybe he will try to get us focused on making money, so that we get more concerned or more consumed with having treasure and possessions on this earth than we are with laying up treasures in heaven. Maybe he'll try to get us focused on sports, so much that we are more concerned and consumed with a football match or a baseball game than accomplishing our mission. He may try to get us focused on entertainment, or movies, or internet, or technology, so that we have little time and little energy left to accomplish our mission. The devil wants to get you distracted. Don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Don't get distracted. Keep the main thing the main thing. Paul admonished the believers in Colossians 3:2. He said, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." We must be careful as we go through this life not to develop a stronger affection for the things of this life than we do for the things of God. America is a land of plenty. Everywhere you go, everywhere you look. Remember, I had was talking to a man a few years ago, and he said to me, I couldn't be a missionary because I can't give up Diet Coke. I thought, wow, it's pretty sad. The truth is, we have to remember that we are pilgrims on a journey through this land. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Our home is in heaven. Be careful not to get entangled with the affairs of this life. Remember, we're just pilgrims passing through. In the parable that Jesus told of the sower and the seed, there was also thorny ground. And Jesus told his disciples that the thorny ground Christian represented someone who heard the word, received the word, and began to bear fruit. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choked the word, and it became unfruitful. The thorny ground Christian got distracted from his mission by the cares of this world, the riches of this world, and the desires of earthly things. Soldiers of Christ must not entangle themselves with the affairs of this life. We must stay mission-minded. The songwriter said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Difficulties can be obstacles that keep us from accomplishing our mission. Distractions can be obstacles that keep us from accomplishing our mission. And the last, number three, is disorientation. To be disoriented is to be confused or mixed up. When a soldier becomes disoriented, he will often panic, and he can make a decision that will jeopardize the mission. And the devil wants us to get mixed up and confused in the work that we are doing to accomplish our mission. How does he do this? I believe one way is by getting our priorities mixed up. We get our priorities mixed up. A soldier who won't go to battle because he needs to polish his boots or wash his uniform is a soldier who has his priorities mixed up. We need to keep our priorities right. We must be careful not to get so busy doing good things that we neglect to do the main thing. God has commanded us to preach the gospel. We all are commanded to be soul winners, and we must be diligent and faithful to do the main thing. We all are commanded to make disciples of Jesus Christ. I love the fact that Pastor Wilkerson has emphasized making disciples. And let me ask you, as a student at Hiles Anderson College preparing to serve God, who are you discipling? Who are you sitting down with and opening the Bible with and going through a discipleship lesson and teaching them the Word of God? We must keep the main thing, the main thing. We must keep our priorities right. I believe we get disoriented also by minimizing our contribution. We don't see the importance of the role that we play in the accomplishment of the mission. And we neglect to be faithful because we think that what we do doesn't really matter. But let me tell you, you do matter. And what you can contribute does matter. Little as much when God is in it. I read this. It says, for want of a nail, a horseshoe was lost. For want of a shoe, a horse was lost. For want of a horse, a rider was lost. For want of a rider, the message was lost. For want of the message, the battle was lost. For want of the battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for want of a horseshoe nail. Don't minimize your contribution. You are important. And what you can do, do it with all your might. Do your part to help accomplish the mission. I believe we get disoriented also by the devil convincing us that we are losing. There's a lot of evil and wickedness that prevails in our world today. You don't have to look very far. But I just want to say to you today, we are on the winning side. Yeah. I read the back of the book and we win. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And don't you get discouraged, and don't you let the devil whisper in your ear that it's useless, that it's in vain, that it's too late. No, there is still time to accomplish the mission. God is still working today. He's working in Ghana, West Africa, and he's working in Indiana also. Let's accomplish our mission. Today, I want to ask you, are you mission-minded? Are you focused on accomplishing the mission God has for you? Or have you allowed difficulties to cause you to stop working to accomplish the mission God has for you? Be encouraged today. Keep pressing on. Or have you gotten distracted? Have you allowed the things of this life to get your focus off of accomplishing the mission God has for you? Today, why don't you confess that to God and get back focused on your mission? Every head bowed, every eye closed.